Okay, shalom to everybody. We're going to finish tonight, Be'ezrat Hashem, Orot HaMilchama, and starting next week we'll go back to Enaya, Rav Kook's commentary on the Agadata of Masechet Shabbat.
So where's that ending next
week? Sorry? Why not?
No,
oh, the question was asked whether the war is, we know the war is going to end, but hopefully. Okay. The topic is not without my son or my father, in that the peace and the redemption and the revelation of Hashem in the world has to come through Am Yisrael. And through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need a lot of Siyata Deshmaya. And in war, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Bala Milchamot. He's the one who makes the wars. He's also Matzmiach Yeshuot. And as we learned, the two are connected. What we're going to see today is actually three stages. The first stage is the ideal situation. Then we're going to talk about the Galut situation during exile. And then we're going to talk about Teshuvah and how to return to the ideal situation. Okay, so we're in Orot HaMilchama, chapter 10, in source number 1. Bigdulat HaOlam, when the world is in its ideal stage. As we've learned in the past, the world was never really in its ideal stage since it fell in the chet of Adam HaRishon, in Adam and Eve, when we fell from the Garden of Eden. But there was a slow but gradual rise until the Malchut of David HaMelech, the kingdom of his son Shlomo Solomon, and that was the 15th generation of Malchut Yisrael. And just like the moon, it builds up till it gets to the 15th day, and then you have a full moon, and then it goes down. After the time of Shlomo, it was really downhill. And then we even went to exile, which was really downhill. And until when we will return to the ideal situation again. So, Bigdulat HaOlam, when the world was in its ripe stage, and here, as we'll see from the context, it's referring to the time of the Malchut of David HaMelech and Shlomo. If you want, I have Orot on my extender.
I can see.
Come closer. Bigdulat HaOlam, Bofa'at HaZiv Shel Kedushat Yisrael Beroma Muto. When the shining light of the holiness of Israel was shining in its fullness, again, at the time of David HaMelech, the time of Shlomo, the kingdom of Israel, we were a superpower. And spiritually wise, the climax was when Shlomo built the Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, and there was prophecy. And as always, the physical and the spiritual of Am Yisrael go together. It's the same thing like with the micro. In an individual, when a child hits a bar mitzvah, it's not just that he's physically capable to start lifting heavier things and running faster. I remember in 8th grade on the basketball team, there was, it's right at the middle when some of the guys have matured already and others not. And we used to have league games, so we would have to pair off the guys who were more mature physically to guard the guys who were more mature physically, and the little wimps like me, we would guard the late bloomers, you know, because it's like a child trying to defend against an adult, you know, at that age. In 8th grade, it's like, and so Am Yisrael, so too on a national level, the body and the soul work together. Parenthetically, as we learned in the past, now that Am Yisrael is returning to the land, and we have a state, and we have an army, and Baruch Hashem, very formidable physically, and we also are growing formidable spiritually as well, because it goes together. So when we were in the olden days, in the time of David and Shlomo, Ein achiza lechol zonim, there is no place for any outsiders or imposters. That's the word I was looking for. There are no, you can't have imposters claiming to be the chosen people. We'll just foreshadow a drop that Rav Kook here is going to be corresponding with Christianity, who, as the second Beit HaMikdash fell, all of a sudden we get these imposters, the Christians, who claim that they're the chosen people, or that anybody who wants to can be part of the chosen people. But as long as it was very clear to everyone that we were the chosen people, the Sefer Melachim, the Book of Kings, it talks about how, historically throughout the Tanakh, and really throughout history, there was always a superpower in Africa. What was it? Egypt. And then there was a superpower in the Northeast. They took turns. It was sometimes Persia, sometimes Ashur, sometimes Madai, sometimes Paras, sometimes Bavel, Babylon. They always took turns. They were always fighting with each other. And eventually, when a superpower got really strong, they had these visions of, hey, let's go conquer Egypt. Now, to go conquer Egypt, they have to pass through Israel. And the same thing, Egypt every now and then, all right, they always controlled Africa, but they had these illusions of grandeur that they wanted to go and conquer the Northeast, whoever was in charge at the time, and they had to pass through Israel. In other words, whoever wanted to conquer the Middle East had to pass through the land of Israel. Now, this could be a terrible curse, right being in the middle, but when Am Yisrael is strong, like in Shlomo HaMelech, turned it into a great bracha, because Egypt, as we see in the Tanakh, they were the big horse growers. They built the chariots. And whoever wanted to be the superpower in the north, they had to buy chariots and horses from Egypt. Now, Shlomo HaMelech, we're right in the middle, in the land of Israel. He told anybody, Egypt wants to buy things from the north, or the north wants to buy chariots and horses from the south. Shlomo HaMelech says, well, you have to pass through my land, and I won't let you unless you give me 200% in taxes. And that's how Shlomo HaMelech was able to build a real empire. And the Jewish people in the time of Solomon, they were the superpower of the world. So when we are really in the superpower mode, and we have prophecy, right? We had prophets at the time. You can't claim that we are not the chosen people. Right? And that's why you have people who were, Naaman from Ashur comes to find out what to do with his leprosy, and he comes and he asks the Jewish prophet, what should I do? Right? Because they knew that Yesh Navi B'Yisrael is the Pasuk, right? There are prophets in Am Yisrael, just like King Shaul, Saul, before he was king, when he was looking for his donkeys, and assistant says to him, let's go and ask Samuel, where we can find the donkeys. And they go and they ask the Ro'eh, the seer, and it's hard to imagine living in a world where you can ask Navi where you lost your glasses, where you forgot your car keys, who you're supposed to marry. And every year in Yom Kippur, red sikra chut turned white. And right, there were just supernatural miracles all the time. So there's no question, is there God? As we spoke about this in the past, in the olden days, the question was not, is there God? Because obviously there's a God. But who is God? Or how many gods are there? Is there a local God in Babylon? Or is it just the God of Israel? But the God of Israel, everybody knew he is the God. And so there was no room for any imposters. When Am Yisrael is shining, Christianity could not rise. L'chol ha'omdim mibachutz, all those who are outside of the nation of Israel, levasseis eze musad hadochik raglei or Yisrael. There was no competition for Am Yisrael. You know, anybody wanted to claim, the strongest thing that they could claim is that, just like there's a God in Israel, we have our God in Babylon, or we have our God in Egypt, or gods, or, yeah.
It's like the verse, like, when Tzur is up, Jerusalem is down, when Jerusalem is up.
Yeah, yes, like exactly. Right? Like Chazal say, we mentioned this a couple weeks ago in Orot HaMilchama, where it says that when the Rome is up, Israel is down, and when Israel is up, Rome is down, or the non-Jews. Livatzer ezoheara mistit. So the nations of the world, when they see there's prophecy and supernatural miracles in Israel, they cannot even claim that they are the chosen people. They can't base any kind of real mystical light, michona emunit, any kind of strong base in faith. Asher tuchal amod chutz b'metziyut ha'umah. Everything comes down to the world through the nation of Israel. That's the way it used to be. It was very clear. Kvoda v'shifat yikrat kodcha. Through the honor of Israel, again, having a strong state, a strong economy, like we explained how Shlomo built the economy, and that together strengthens the holiness. By the way, this is halacha lima'aseh, that the more Jews there are in Eretz Yisrael, the higher the level of holiness. And if it's most of the Jews, it's that much higher level. And if it's all the Jews, it's that much higher level. And Ki ha'or ha'elyon v'ziv ha'yichud ha'me'uchad. Remember that term. The or elyon, the higher light, the higher godly light, the shining unity. She'yisodo ha'elyon. Remember that, Rav Kook, the key word in today's paragraph is elyon, the higher light. We'll see pretty soon what Rav Kook is referring to. Or ha'emet be'behiruto chaybo. Hareyu kashur bisgulat Yisrael, that the revelation of God through prophecy, through supernatural miracles, through victories in war, that is seen through the Jewish nation. Hashem Elokav imo utruat melech bo, the pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar that says that the that was translated exactly Hashem Elokav imo. His God, the God of Israel, is with him. You want to see God? Look at the nation of Israel. Utruat melech bo, and the glory of the king, which is symbolized by the blowing of the trumpets or of the shofar, that glory of the trumpeting of the king is seen in Am Yisrael. Now this should right away ring a bell, what we say in before Tkiat Shofar. Ashrei ha'am yod'ei trua. We know we're tuned in to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know Him. He's seen in the world through us. And that is the Or Elyon, the higher revelation of God. But there's also a lower revelation. When Am Yisrael is bad, and we are physically and militarily weak, and we begin to be defeated, and eventually we're sent into exile. Paragraph bet, Miridat ha'olam v'ashpalat ha'neshama ha'yisraelit. From the time that the soul of Israel began being mushpal, how do you say mushpal? Trodden upon, to be embarrassed. Nifrad ha'yichud ha'elyon. That is when we lost, again, that higher yichud. Now, what is the yichud elyon and the yichud hatachton? Let's already look in source number 3, in the Zohar. By the way, I don't know Zohar, so usually when I bring Zohar, it's things that I learned with Rav Waldman or Rav Drukman. So, and in this context, Rav Kook was the greatest Kabbalist of his time. And very, very often, if you don't know Kabbalah, you miss out on a lot of things that Rav Kook is referring to. And here, in the Zohar, in Parshat Bereshit, Daf Yud Chet Amud Bet, Source 3, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed, blessed be Hashem's name forever, Yichuda Dilitata, that is the lower Yichud, the lower unity of God. Yichuda Ila'a, the higher level of unity, is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. there is one and only God. And how is Hashem revealed to the world? We say this every day, 2-3 times a day, but a lot of people don't notice. Shema Yisrael. Listen. Nation of Israel, and through the nation of Israel, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. He is the one and only. There is no competition. The Christians can't claim that they're the chosen people. The Babylonians can't claim that. Nobody can claim that they're the chosen people. When Am Yisrael hears Hashem and reveals that higher level of the Yichud Elyon. On the other hand, when we're in exile, for example, then it is the lower level of Yehud. God is still one, but because it's not so apparent, that's when imposters start coming around. And that is exactly when Christianity came on the scene at the time of the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, where before that, everybody would know that they're imposters. Now, it's a little deeper than this. I added onto the source sheet from Malachi Deot in source number 4. You have it here in page Kufchet in Orot, where Rav Kook talks about the ideal situation is that there are two ideals. There is the godly ideal and the national ideal. And the ideal is to have the two ideals working together, where the nation of Israel, the national ideal, again, where Am Yisrael is strong and our economy is strong and our army is strong, works together with the godly ideal. The problem is, and I don't know how much of this we'll do inside, because these are big things, but we'll just foreshadow the most important point, and we learned this in the past, that during the time of the Beit HaMikdash, especially the first Beit HaMikdash, Am Yisrael was over-focusing on the Ideya HaLeumit, on our nationalism. Because when you're in your country, you have economic problems, and they're your economic problems. You have to solve them. And if you have security problems, they're your security problems. You have to solve them. And we were over-focusing on our nationalism, and it was at the expense of our religion. And that's how Am Yisrael, the Gemara in Yoma, Daf Tet, Amud Bet, how we got to doing the three cardinal sins, right? Idolatry, adultery, and murder, which means that from there south we did everything. In other words, things were really bad spiritually. Why? Because we were over-focused on the national problem. Now, Rav Kook is not saying that nationalism is bad, but it's saying if you overdo it, is going to be at the expense of the religion. So Hashem sent us to exile to go to the other extreme, to focus just on the Ideya HaElokit, and we lost our Ideya Leumit. And that is when Judaism became a religion. In Galut, Judaism is like a religion, where you have Muslims, and you have Protestants, and you have Catholics, and you have Jews, and there are a lot of different religions. And this is the fall of the Or Elyon, that high unity of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, fell when we left to exile. And that is when, again, imposters started coming up. And the Christians kicked around the Jews, and they said, well, the proof that God is Christian is that we defeat the Jews. And the Muslims defeat the Jews, and they show that God is Muslim. And so not only does the national ideal suffer, not only does the national ideal suffer, but the godly ideal suffers as well, because people looking at the Jewish people, and they're saying, Aye Hashem Elokecha, Jew, where's your God? So, and that is when, again, Christianity could start raising their head, because it's no longer obvious that the Jews are the chosen people. Let's just jump for a second to a paragraph Gimel, source 4 Gimel, the paragraph that begins, Be'ein makom lashpa'ata. Shela Ideya Elokit, Ala Leumit, right? When the separation of the godly ideal was separated from the national ideal, אחרי תמי מרבית הכוחות של האחרונה, when the national ideal, again, through becoming overstressed, lost its twin. So we started neglecting the godly ideal, and then the national ideal also fell, because they go together. ויהפכו לסוריה גפן נוכריה, ואחר כך גם נרסו עד היסוד. סוריה גפן הנוכריה is sometimes you have, they call it today in modern Hebrew, chazirim. When you have out of the vineyard, out of the vine, grow from the bottom these straight branches that are sterile. They will not grow any fruit. Okay, so that's what Am Yisrael was like. ואחר כך גם נרסו עד היסוד. And afterwards, when we didn't do tshuva, Hashem lowered us, our national ideal, and Mamela also the religious, the godly ideal, Hitkansai de Elohit b'chol yemea galut v'kena katan v'adal. So Judaism for 2,000 years was limited to a tiny nest. And Rav Kook here is referring to the Gemara in Brachot that says that from the time that the Shekhinah left the land of Israel, in makom l'Shekhinah el ba'arba amot shel halacha bilvad. You can't see God in glory, because there's no Beit HaMikdash, there's no great nation of Israel, there's no great army of Israel, there's no great kingdom of Israel, there's no... So where do you find God? If you go into shul and you learn Torah, then you will see the religious ideal. Because again, it's not the godly ideal. It's a religious ideal. You'll see the difference. B'mikdash ma'at shevbatei knesiot ubatei midrashot. Now, what else happened? Going down to source number 5, there's a continuation of Malach HaIdeot. This is in paragraph Hey there, where Kook talks about Bait Rishon Bait Sheni HaIdea HaDatit. What happened was, when Judaism began being limited to a religion, where for 2,000 years Judaism was just eating kosher, which you do in your home, right? McDonald's outside is not kosher. Nothing outside is kosher. Shabbat is in the home. It's not in Rishut HaRabim. And the holidays, out on the streets, it's 25 shopping days towards Christmas, right? And you don't see Hanukkah, you don't see... Everything is just in... it's a sort of Nebi Judaism. And that is what's called the religion of Judaism, because it's not the shining light of the godly unity, the Elyon of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And then it falls down even more. In paragraph Bet, Rav Kook here deals with a very famous question, which is worthy to dedicate an entire class. Why does the Torah not talk more about Olam Haba? Right? If you look, ask today, any 10-year-old, what happens if you do mitzvot? He'll say you go to the world to come, you go to heaven, or you wake up in the revival of the dead. And on the other hand, if you look in the Torah, in Parshat Bechukotai, in Vayayim Shamoah, in Parshat Kitavo, what's the reward if we do the mitzvot? It doesn't say he'll go to heaven. It says there will be rain in the land of Israel. We will defeat our enemies. The enemies will run away from the Jewish people. Our economy will be booming. And everybody, if we would have time, we'd go into all the different answers. There's so many different answers. Why? But Rav Kook has an ingenious answer. Because... just see, look in the term in source 5 bet. Shraga batira kener lifnei avuka. Haidea lukiti Israelit in galut, where the godly ideal through the nation of Israel is not, I'm sorry, when we're in the land of Israel, and the godly ideal is seen through the nation of Israel, so the world to come, talking about heaven, is Kener lifnei avuka. It's like a candle before... Hey, did I lose the recording? Oh, here we go. It's like a candle in the afternoon. Kishraga batiara. In the middle of the day, you light a candle outside, you don't enjoy the light. You don't benefit from the light. Rav Kook is explaining that when Am Yisrael is in the land of Israel, when we have that Yichud Elyon, that Kabbalistic concept of the higher revelation of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, through the nation of Israel, Hashem shines through the Israeli economy, through the Israeli army being victorious, through having rain in the land of Israel. In other words, the physical in the land of Israel and in the nation of Israel is spiritual. And therefore, you don't need to talk about you'll go to heaven. Yeah, there always was a heaven, there always was a hell, but the Tanakh doesn't talk about it almost simply because it's Batel B'Shishim. If you have such a strong godly light of that Ziva Elyon, of the Achdut Elyon, of the nation of Israel shining, David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, we're the superpower, and that's the way it's going to be also in Yemot HaMashiach, then you don't limit Judaism just to Shabbos and Kashrut and the home, the Jewish home, and the Jewish Beit Knesset, because it's so apparent. And that is why, again, Rav Kook is offering a very innovative answer based on Kabbalah, why the Tanakh, when talking about reward and punishment, talks about that it'll be good for the land of Israel, it'll be good for the nation of Israel, it'll be good for the army of Israel, it'll be good, Israel will be successful in high tech. Why? Because that is the revelation of God. In Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Getting back to source 1, to our paragraph. Paragraph that. So we started saying that from the time of the fall of Israel, which also came together with the separation from the Yichud HaElyon, the separation of that real unity, unity between God and Israel, which is a unity between the heavens and the earth. There is that, again, there's no room for mistaking or for imposters. But when we fell from that, Mimakor Achduto, from the source of the real unity, Ve'ala Lemala Larakia L'Shchakim, and the Shekhinah, as if it were, went up to heavens. And that is when somebody like Yeshu, Jesus, can come around and say, I am God's Son, I am God, whatever you want to say that he said, because again, God is not shining, the prophets aren't shining, there's no prophets around saying, no, he's an imposter. Ba'olam ha'chayim lo yufia ki im nikei hazarirut shel ha'yichud ha'tachton. This, during the fall of Am Yisrael, of the nation of Israel, there still is a little light in the world. The world is, God doesn't abandon the world. But all we see is that foggy light of the Yichud HaTachton. Because there is no Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's just Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed. Because that is a kingdom that is always around. Le'olam Va'ed. Even when we're in exile, even when God is in exile. Notice, there's the concept of Shechinta Bigaluta that we see in the keynote, that talks about in the Zohar, that when Am Yisrael goes to exile, God also goes to exile. Hanishav mi'aborot ha'she'uvim v'yad zarim bo'nogad. That's when the Christians can wake up and say, yeah, we read the Bible too, and we teach the Bible too, and we'll add on to the Bible too, and we're the chosen people too. And u'kneset Yisrael tachil tazik b'chavileha. And that is when we start suffering the pains. Oy nali ki'aifa nafshi. Oy, my soul is tired. Exile was not just that our body suffered, but our soul, our spirituality also suffered. Ay, ay, ay. Remember to turn off this alarm. Okay. Razei Torah lechitzonim nimseru. The secrets of the Torah were given over to the external. the non-Jews also started learning. HaTorah nisrefet, uGvileha nisrafim v'otiot porchot. Like the story of Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion, who the Romans wrapped him up in a Sefer Torah, and they burned him alive. And they asked him what he sees, and he sees, I see the parchment is being burnt, the letters of the Torah are going up to heaven. How is Rav Kook explaining that, based on the Kabbalistic ideas of the higher Shekhinah and the lower Shekhinah? It is the idea that the higher Shekhinah just went up to heaven, and you don't see it anymore. And if you look for the letters, the physical letters in this world, they're being burnt. So you don't see the letters in the world, and the you don't see the parchment in the world, and the letters are going up to heaven. Right? These are concepts that we know from Megillat Eicha, from the Kinot. Then Am Yisrael, who was the Pe'er, the highest superpower, we turned into Efer. The Beit HaMikdash was burnt, and we were burnt. Now don't forget, the Christianity showed up on the scene, as we've mentioned in the past, the Rambam at the end of Hilchot Melachim, which the Christians censored out, the Rambam writes that Christianity is an advancement to be more monotheistic, to be more moral than paganism. Paganism was much lower level. Nevertheless, there would not have been a need for Christianity were we to have been shining the Jewish light like we should have been in the first place. Paragraph Gimel. Kamim nevonei levav v'chatzot laila. You know, maybe I'll already, so I don't forget, the Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah, which is directly connected, there's Daf Lamed Aleph Amun Aleph. We don't have time to do the whole thing, but the Gemara talks about the Eser Masa'ot Nasa Shechina Mikrai. There are different psukim that talk about the 10 different stages that Hashem, as if it were, went to exile. First he was on top of the Aron, and then he went to the Kruvim, and then he went to the Kodesh, and then to Yerushalayim, and then eventually, where did he go? Umi'ir Lahar, he went up to a mountain. Dichti vayal kavod Hashem mi'al tocha'ir, vayamod alahar asher mikedem le'ir, the eastern mountain of the old city. What's the eastern mountain of the old city? Har HaZeitim? Okay, yeah. Umihar lamidbar, and then Hashem went into a further exile. He went out to the desert, as it says in Proverbs 21, Tov Shabbat Shevet Ba'aretz Midbar, umimidbar alta v'yashva bimkoma, dichtiv elech ashuva el mikomi. The Shekhinah, as if it were, just went up to heaven. No more prophecy, no more supernatural miracles, and you don't see Hashem in Jewish history. Adrabah. The Jews were pogromed and holocausted and kicked around from exile to exile. And the only thing that's left is Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed. Thank God there still is that eternal godliness, that lower level of godliness of the religion of Judaism, which still has a little light. Also Christianity developed and brought a little light. But again, it wasn't supposed to be that way. And, okay, paragraph Gimel. Kamim nivonei levav b'chatzot laila. So what did we start doing? The great Kabbalists and Tzaddikim, they wake up in the middle of the night to do what's called tikkun chatzot. Tikkun chatzot is crying over Am Yisrael, over Eretz Yisrael, over Shechinat Yisrael. Over God. God's suffering. V'yidehem al chalatzeim keyoleida. And he's using a term from Eicha and from Yirmiyahu, that what do we do when we say tikkun chatzot? We sit on the ground, we hold our sides like a pregnant woman who is going through labor pains. And we know eventually that the child is going to be born. The geula is going to come. Right? But in the meantime, why are we crying? Al tzarata olam. The whole world is losing out by the fact that the light of Israel is not shining. That's why the goyim are making mistakes. Tzarat Yisrael, how much more so Am Yisrael is suffering. Tzarat Hashchina, as if it were God is suffering because his beloved nation of Israel has to be punished, is sent to sent to exile, and God can't reveal his greatness like he wants to. Tzarat Torah, the Torah cannot shine like it wants to. Right? In Torah ke Torah Eretz Yisrael. Chochmah ba'umot ta'amin. Chazal say that the Torah of Eretz Yisrael is on a totally different level. Hem bochim u'mevakim. And that is why those who say Tikkun Chatzot, they cry. And even if somebody isn't crying, we should be crying. At least pretend to cry. At least get down on the ground. And every now and then say Tikkun Chatzot. At least during the 9 days. Right? At least realize what a tragedy, a godly tragedy it is that Am Yisrael was sent into exile and that we don't have a Jewish state. V'yodim hem u'makirim et omek katzar b'mkoro u'v'toldotav. The great Kabbalists, they understand what it used to be and what it will be and what we're lacking. Parenthetically, you will not find a great Kabbalist who is not a super Zionist. You won't find a Kabbalist in Chutz La'aretz over the last 100 years. Because one of the most elementary points of Kabbalah is the land of Israel. It's the shining of the higher light, right? It's Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's the nation of Israel. It's the state of Israel. It's the army of Israel. Yodim Hem. These Kabbalists who do Tikkun Chatzot, who cry every night at midnight, Shekol Atzarot V'Machshakim, all the darkness and sorrows in the world, Kol Na'arei Nachalei Adamim Anishpachim. What does this have to do with Orot HaMilchama? Now you understand. Rav Kook is writing this during World War I. And the fact that 20 million people are killed, Kal V'Chomer, how much more is in World War II, and how many were killed? A lot more than the 20 million of World War and Kal V'Chomer, when Am Yisrael suffered more than anyone, right, in the Holocaust. Kolat la'ot v'anidudim, all of the wandering. Again, imo anochi betzara. The concept that when the Am Yisrael is suffering, Hashem is suffering. How can you not cry? Kolabuz v'amistama, all of the degrading of the Jewish people, and the hate of the Jewish people, and the anti-Semitism. We mentioned in the past, what was the original name of Sefer HaKuzari? It's called the real name, it's too long, so we don't use it. But you find it on the first page. The book in defense of the lowly and downtrodden religion. Because the Christian claim that God is Christian, and the Muslims claim that God is Christian, but everyone agrees that God can't be Jewish, because look at it, if God were Jewish, he'd take care of his people. And again, so that is a terrible Chilul Hashem. Kol Arisha V'Azuaman. By the way, what Hamas did to us on Simchat Torah is a sign that we still have not completed the Geula. All of the Tum'ah, the evil, Einam Ele Tolada Klusha Meheda Kol Sheloto Atzar Elyon. All of it is because Hashem is still crying for Am Yisrael, for Eretz Yisrael, for the Beit HaMikdash, Tzara Shamayim, Tzara Shechina, Tzara Idealiut HaMotit Bafradami Mekor Tanugea. Then Hashem is separated from the Idea Halu'umit. The Idea Elokit and the Idea Lu'umit have been separated, and both of them fall, and all we have left is the Idea Datit. You know, Jenny was a little, how to eat your watermelon on Shabbat. You know, Shabbat is very important, but that is a very small Judaism. We're talking about godly, earth-shaking revelations, and you can't just talk about, you know, how to brush your teeth on Shabbat. That is a small Judaism, and that's a bad reflection on God, and it's a bad reflection on Am Yisrael. Tzari idealiut ha-motit ba-fradami mekor tanugea, va-idealiut ha-elyona berucham shel ha-briot u-bechirat ha-adam. All of this stems from the wrong choices of man, because Hashem didn't want to send us to exile, but we have free will. So what's the answer? Tshuvat Yisrael, when Am Yisrael will return to being who we're supposed to be. V'romemut atzilut haruach haretzini hikshura. God, the higher, Shechina Elyona, that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is seen to the world when Am Yisrael shows it to the world. Vehem korim la'tshuva. And those who say Tikkun Chatzot, and also the whole world wants Am Yisrael to do that tshuva. Like Rav Kook talks at the beginning of Orot HaTshuva, that tshuva to the world begins with tshuva of Am Yisrael, that we have to return to being who we really are, to our spirituality, to our nationalism, to stop the Chilul Hashem. And in the meantime, Va'anu Liyah Ve'inenu Liyah. This is a quote from what they used to say at the Simchat Beit HaShoeva. In Masechet Sukkah, the Mishnah says that we are for God and our eyes are towards God. What does it mean, Anu Liyah? You catch what Rav Kook is saying? That's the pshat of the Kabbalistic idea. Hashem, Anu Liyah. We are for God. Because Hashem is suffering because Am Yisrael is downtrodden. And when the Hamas kills 1,100 Jews on one day, not only is Hashem crying for his children, but the entire world should be crying. And Am Yisrael has to get up, and as we've been doing for the last 100 days, and show the world we cannot stand evil, and we cannot stand Chilul Hashem, God's people being desecrated, and we are going to do that tshuva. National return to who we are, spiritually returning to who we are. Anu Liyah, the honor of the Jewish people is for the honor of God. Ve'einenu Liyah, and with all due respect to the Itaruta Diletata that Rav Kook talks about many times, that Am Yisrael has to take that step through active Zionism, through coming to the land of Israel, through building a state, through reviving the nation, through reviving the army. Nevertheless, Einenu Liyah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the real Geula, you're the one who has to do it. In other words, the world cannot manage without the Son and without the Father, without Am Yisrael and without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Bezrat Hashem, out of all of the evil that is seen in the world, whether it be World War I, World War II, the wars of Israel, the present Bezrat Hashem, the higher unity of Am Yisrael, of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the higher Shekhinah of Hashem, which is being reunited with the greatness of Israel, the Idea Elokit together with the Idea Lumit is returning to where it used to be. Is it going to be slow or fast? Again, it depends on us. But we have an unbelievable opportunity, just like the Six-Day War was an unbelievable opportunity. And that's when the Baal Tshuva movement began. The Yom Kippur War was an unbelievable opportunity because Am Yisrael was shaken up and there was a supernatural turnaround. And this war, and there is so much tshuva going on in the army and among the people who are in those locked shelters, and in the families. You remember that the mother who was did this whole challah, hafrashat challah, for her daughter, and right away her daughter, she was the first
and only rescued.
Right, she was the first and only really rescued hostage. And Baruch Hashem, we have to grab the opportunity. And Baruch Hashem, it is going on, but again, we have to do it as soon as possible. The end of Orot HaMilchama.